Okay, so here's the, these are the C2D papers, Austin. You can give everybody about 8 out of 10, I think, because it turns out that everybody was wrong. It isn't, it's only the same, it's like Andrew was saying, it's only the same as a forward.
For the
integration.
Yeah.
But it is the same for the integration. So anyway, we'll go over what it is, because, you know, finally when I looked at those, well, I said, okay, I got to figure out what it is.
Could you all give us, can you give us 1 out of 10 and just take 100 minus our score?
Yeah. 100 minus your score.
And we all get 90s.
Yeah.
90
out of 10.
Yeah,
ooh, I did.
Okay.
So, did you determine what exactly it was doing?
Yeah.
For the other cases?
Yeah, for every case.
What is it doing for the...
Well, I'll go through that.
Okay.
It's going to take a little while. It's a little bit of a derivation.
Because last night I tried to do one, like, instead of doing one over s, I tried doing one over s squared. And
yeah, some other things.
It didn't look like it was going to be easy to work backwards. Fine.
Yeah, well. Yeah, so we'll go over that. Okay, so let's see, digital control.
Because that was the way it was accepted over here.
Okay. So I need to give you the 3-2 homework I worried you about last time, right? Yeah, it'll be initially due Monday and finally due Wednesday, so that's okay. So what homework number is this?
I think it's homework 7, yeah.
Okay. Well, today, first thing I want to do is, see if we all worked on this zero order hold thing. What was it, right? How do you do it? So, it turns out it's the same as, the forward Euler for integration, but not for other stuff. Like Andrew was saying, he cued us in on that. Maybe he deserves 9 points on that, because his little thing was very brief. It just said it was zero or said it was first order hold. But anyway, what he said in class put me into it. Otherwise, I just would have assumed that, it was zero order hold because it, worked for one case. Probably was a bad assumption. But let's look at this. One of the things I kind of am thinking about doing, and maybe I can get your feedback on this after you thought about it a little bit, is I want to control that pendulum upstairs. I want to control the two things, okay? I want to do that. And if I just kind of follow along with the book the way we're doing it, we aren't going to get to the stuff until kind of toward the end of the quarter.
Right.
And so I'm thinking about jumping ahead, because you guys have had maybe a little bit more, control systems than the guys that use this book. So I think we could possibly do that, and I'm thinking about jumping ahead to the state space stuff and also to the last chapter, chapter 8, which is basically is a method of trying to determine the parameters without, you know, doing the analysis. I'd like to do the analysis. I'd like to determine the parameters, you know, by experimentally, and I'd also like to verify the parameters, you know, experimentally with some measurements, okay? And then I'd like to control the thing, okay? You know, make it stand up, both of them. That would be my goal. Now, I'm not sure we'll be able to do both of them. Maybe we'll only do one, but it has been done before, both of them, you know, and I think the last time Dr. Cross taught this class, you know, he had them balancing both of them. So I'm thinking about, you know, doing that, which might entail kind of mixing things up in the book a little bit, which is always a little bit, which I say, dangerous, right? I mean, but look through the book, you know, look through the book before you just decide that, you know, and just take a quick peek at the next chapters. I think there are some chapters that you already understand really well. Like, for example, there's one on state space, continuous time state space, which you kind of need to understand so you can do discrete time state space. And even what I'm going to do here with this zero order hold thing is going to use that state space stuff. And I'm probably going to do a quick continuous time state space thing that you really should remember from before, but probably don't. Okay. And so I'm kind of thinking about jumping ahead to the state space stuff and then go back to the things like PID controllers and you know, kind of the frequency domain methods that people use that are more seat of the pants. Because I think that, you know, the pendulum up there, I talked to Dr. Cross, he said it's a pretty ambitious thing, but it's also a good project to do. I mean, he's done it before, it works well, but he says you need to get on. So, anyway. I haven't talked to him, but I don't know. You know, I don't know how hard that would be. You know, we'd have to look and see. But yeah, there are those kind of issues. But it depends on what your sample rate is. You know, if your sample rate is down along, you know, 100 hertz or something, it probably doesn't matter. But I don't know what the sample rate. Dr. Cross said he had seen some interesting things where increasing the sample rate didn't improve the accuracy. And it could be, you know, those TCP/IP things because they arrive at random times and stuff. But, you know, I don't know. We'll have to look at those issues when we actually get down to the nuts and bolts of things. And I don't think it's that hard to change it from TCP/IP to UDP, but it may be, you know, it depends. Okay, so sometimes it's handy to look at things in state space than the nth order difference equation or differential equation. Okay, so let's look at a state space, you know, remind you of state space stuff. X dot equals A X plus B U and Y equals C X plus D U. And right now I'm kind of thinking of a single input, single output system. My notation is this. If I put a bar, a line under it, that means it's a column vector. If I put a squiggle under it, that means it's a square or, you know, a more general kind of a thing. Not a square necessarily, but not necessarily a column or whatever. And so, you know, this is a square matrix. That's a, you know, a column vector and so on. You guys remember this from feedback before from LNA? Right, okay. And so you probably also remember what I want to do is solve this equation right here. Maybe you remember solving that thing. If I multiply it by an integrating factor e to the at, I will get e to the a, this is a matrix a, t, x dot equals e to the a t times a times x plus e to the a t b u. And now if I bring this guy over to this guy, I will have the derivative of a product. That's what you do when you're doing an integrating factor. Another way to solve this is just take the Laplace transform and then inverse transform it, you know, but I don't know, this is just what I happen to pick this time. So if I bring this guy over here, maybe what I wanted to do was multiply by e to the minus at, no, e to the plus at. E to the a t x dot, and then I've got minus e to the a t times a x. Maybe I need a, do I need an a to the minus a t? I think I'm going to change it to minus a, and it'll work better. I get a minus there, and a minus here, equals e to the minus a t b u. Okay, so now if I look at this guy, this is the derivative of a product, right? What's the product? So that's d dt of what? E to the minus a t x. Does that make sense? Because well, the derivative of e to the minus a t is going to be either minus a, e to the minus a t, or you could put it on the other side, e to the minus a t times a, right? And on these matrix things, when you're doing the derivative of e to the a t, you can do it either way, because the Taylor series for e to the a t, you can put the a on this side or on that side, doesn't matter. In other words, it commutes. In other words, maybe I should do it. Derivative of e to the a t with respect to t is equal to, it's going to be either a times e to the a t, which also equals e to the a t times a, because it's really, well, if I do the first one, it's a times I plus a t plus a squared t squared over 2 factorial plus dot dot dot, which is the same as I plus a t plus a squared t squared over 2 factorial plus dot 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 times a. You can put it either side, right? Does that make sense? And so what I'm saying is that the derivative of this thing using product rule is the derivative of this thing using product rule is this thing right here. You're going to have e to the minus a t times x dot, that's the first, times the derivative of the second, right? And then I'm going to have plus the derivative of the first, which is this minus e to the minus a t times a, times the second, which is x. This guy and that guy is commutative? Okay, multiply it out here. I got I plus a squared t squared. A commutes with itself, right?
Oh, okay.
I mean, a squared, you can't tell which side it came from, right? Yeah,
that's true.
That's why I wrote that out there, but yeah. So anyway, what I'm saying is this right here, that guy is that derivative, the derivative of the product. And so then that equals this thing on the other side, which is e to the minus a t times b u of t. So now, if I take this guy down here and integrate, when I integrate that guy using, I'm going to integrate from 0 to t, so I got integral from 0 to t of that thing d dt of e to the minus a t x d t, or maybe I should do, I don't know, hopefully, you know, this is the dummy variable, it's not the same as that thing, right? Is that okay? could put a tau in there and a tau and a tau, right? But hopefully that notation is okay. So this will just be e to the minus at times x of t, I'm putting in the upper limit, minus that thing at the lower limit, using fundamental theorem of calculus, which is e to the a 0 is the identity matrix, so it's just minus x of 0, right? That little guy, and I need a little squiggle here. It's really hard to put in all the squiggles and stuff. I'm missing some squiggles over here, too. I just mean it's not a column vector, it's a matrix, you know. And these A's are square. Need one squiggle here. Okay, so I just did this side of the integral, right? I mean this side of the equation. Now I gotta do the other side of the equation, which is the integral from 0 to t of, I'll put in e to the minus a tau b, u of tau, d tau, and, oops, not dt, d tau. And I'm using tau here to be a little more careful. I probably should have used tau back over here when I've done the variable of integration so we don't get mixed up with t even. So anyway, now I've got this guy and that guy, and so you can solve for, solve for x of t. X of t equals, I'm going to multiply by e to the plus at and bring this thing to the other side. So this is e to the at, x of 0, plus the integral from 0 to t of e to the a, t minus tau, b, u of tau, d tau. And this is really the convolution of the input, and then this is the, you know, the zero state response.
On the back of the step, how did you get to take the derivative of e to the atx equals e to the negative atb?
Okay, this guy right here is really, it's this thing over here. This is e to the minus at times x dot minus e to the minus a t times a times x. And so I had that guy right down here, right? So I simplified this thing right here using the product rule to write it that way. And since this thing equaled that thing, then this thing equals that. Is that okay? I still don't think I got that across here. Okay, so let's go back over here. I started out with this thing right here, okay?
Right. Well, I'm just saying, where I'm at is you have the x dot there, and here now you're differentiating with respect to t.
X dot is with respect to t, right? This is d dt, right?
Yeah.
Right? Is that okay? Okay. So then I got this solution right here. And you guys all did that back in LNA and probably feedback, right? Okay, so now let's discretize this solution, okay? So we're gonna plug in x of k. I want to put in x of kt, okay? Which I'm just gonna call x of k because define it that way because I don't want to have to write the t all the time, okay? So that's just going to be this thing when I put in t equals kt, right? So this will be e to the a kt x of 0 plus the integral from 0 to kt of e to the a kt minus tau b u of tau d tau. Did I do that right? I just put in, evaluated this guy right here at kt. Okay. Now, what next thing I'd like to do is I'd like to look at what x of K plus one T looks like, which I'm just gonna call, fill in all these little dashes and things I need here. Okay, which I'm gonna call, define as X of K plus one, which is, this is E to the A K plus one T X of zero plus, now I'm really, what I wanna do here, well, I'll do it in two steps. So I got zero to K plus one T B U of tau D tau. And now what I'd like to do is I would like to write this as E to the A KT. Well, I could factor out an E to the AT. That's what I want to do. Factor out an E to the AT. Which way do I want to factor it out? I probably want to factor it out on the left. So I'm going to factor out an E to the AT. And then I'm going to put on E to the AKT. Okay, that's this first term. And then I've got X of zero. I can finish that first term. And now I want to factor out the same kind of a thing over here. Uh-oh, I forgot something. E to the A. KT minus tau. Right? Okay, now I want to break this integral into two terms. I'm going to make a first term, which is going to go from 0 to, it looks like that guy, kt. And I'm going to have e to the a kt minus tau. Oops, I messed up. This should have been a k plus 1. Maybe I just got to erase that and fit it in there so it looks decent. A k plus 1 t minus tau. Whoops, wrong kind of braces. Let's just try that all over again. E to the a k plus 1 t minus tau b u of tau e tau. Okay, now b u of tau d tau. But you see, when I did this, this guy times that guy is kind of like that guy right there. It has the e to the a k plus 1 t minus tau, right? But it doesn't go from 0 up to k plus 1. It only goes to 0 up to kt, right? So I have to actually put in this other integral, which is plus this guy right here, which is, it's the integral from kt to k plus 1t. I got to put in the rest of it, you know, because this guy went up to 0 to kt, and then, so that's going to be, the rest of it goes from kt to k plus 1t, e to the a, and then I've got this k plus 1 t minus tau. Whoops, wrong kind of braces again. I apologize for the algebra, it's kind of tedious here. B u of tau d tau. Okay, so minus tau. Let's just double check. Oops. This is supposed to be a line here. This is supposed to be a squiggle. Okay, so what is this thing in the braces here, in the brackets?
It's the
Yeah, that's x of k, right? Right? Okay, so the next thing I want to do is on this integral right here, I want to make a substitution. K plus 1 t minus tau, I mean, is equal to a dummy variable. Okay, so let k plus 1 t minus tau be equal to, say, v. Okay, because we've already got u, right? So this is my dummy variable integration. And so what I have then is x of k plus 1 equals e to the at times x of k. Squiggle line. Okay, and then I have plus the integral of e to the a, and then this will be v, right? Because that's v. V u of tau. What is tau? Tau is equal to v, k plus 1 t minus v, right? K plus 1 t minus v, is that right? And then d tau is equal to minus dv. I'll make this a minus, right? And then I've got to change these limits on this guy and that guy, okay? Actually, if I change this to a plus, if I just reverse the limits, can I do that in one step? So I'll change this to a plus, and instead of putting the k plus 1 limit on the top, I'll put it on the bottom. Yeah. So I'm going to put in when tau is k plus 1 t, v is 0, right? If you see tau, put that in as k plus 1 t, I get k plus 1 t minus k plus 1 d.
Isn't that a plus already?
That was a plus. I changed it to a minus because dv is minus d tau. dv equals minus d tau. And so it was a plus, but now this makes it a minus. And then if I swap the limits, then that'll make it back to a plus. Okay? Is that right?
Yeah.
So many steps at once. Okay, and then what happens when I put in kt here, kt, I get k plus 1t minus kt is equal just to t, right? Is that okay?
So k plus, what did you do?
If I put in, I'm trying to get the other limit, so I put in kt right here.
Right.
K plus 1t minus kt is just equal to t, right?
Yeah.
So this goes from 0 to t. Okay.
Yeah, right, okay.
Okay, so we got this mess here. And now, here's the thing where the zero order hold comes in, okay? So this is an exact solution here so far, right? This is exact, everything was exact, we just plugged it in kt, right? This is what the continuous thing would be doing at those specific sample points, right? There were no approximations yet. But here's where the approximation comes in. So if I assume u of t steps only at t equals kt and is constant. This is constant between KT and K plus 1 T, you know, then look at, we're integrating this V here, goes between 0 and T, right? So U of K plus 1 T minus, you know, this guy's going to be something between 0 and T, right? So minus, it could be minus 1 T or minus 0. So really, this guy is kind of going between K and K plus 1 T, this thing right here, when we integrate over that thing. And I'm saying this thing is constant over that range, right? In other words, the input, the input looks like this. If I graph it, here is T, and here is 0, T, 2T, 3T, 4T. So what am I saying? I'm saying that, you know, U of T might really go something like this. But what I'm doing is I'm saying it's like this right here, and then it jumps up to like this here, okay? And then it jumps up to like this here, and then it, I guess, it stays about like that there, right? And it jumps down, right? You got the picture? So this is the ZOH approximation. And the only thing we approximated that was only on the input, okay? So basically what we're saying is our input is now this thing that was basically A to D converter, right? Or that's what we'd get when we did an A to D conversion, right? We'd get these inputs. We'd say it's this same number in this whole thing right here, right? Now, you know, we could do something better than that, but that's what they're doing with the zero order hold. So when you do that, this thing right here is constant. It's constant right here. And so that thing is constant between 0 and t, right? And so you could put in the value for 0, right? Or you could put in the value for t. Which one do you want to do? We can pick whichever one we want, right? One would probably be make the integration equivalent to forward Euler. One would probably be backward Euler, right? I mean, depending on which way you wanted to do it, right? And you could make, and then the integral, when you did the integral, the integration would agree with one of those two. And I think what I did right here was forward Euler, right? Yeah. Yeah. And so, if you're doing forward Euler, you're saying it's the same, I guess, putting in, this is the flip shifted thing here. And we said it was going to take the, so I think it's like putting T in here. So I think that means U of K plus 1 T, am I thinking right, minus V is the same thing as U of K T, okay? Because this guy would, cap V would be putting in cap T, I think. Now let me just show you where I got this from. I put this on the wiki, so in case you want to look at it here, there's a little thing down here. You click on that, and then you come to Wikipedia here, and there's the state, here's the thing right here. We don't have W and B, those are noises, okay? This would be like in a stochastic kind of a thing, you know, this is what happens when you add noise on. We're assuming there's none of that, so we can kind of ignore this. And And then here's the stuff we did, basic, well, I don't know, where is the stuff we did? I mean, I guess you could do it that way. We were, actually, here's the way we did it right in here. You know, we got this, right? And then we did this, put in x of k, and we replaced this part right here with, you know, x of k up here. And then we had this integral right here. And now we're at this point right here. I put in, got the u of k, right? And then this integral isn't a hard integral to do, right? E to the x is easy, right? And so that's this A inverse times e to the at minus I, right? So if you plug in that thing right in there, so we have x of k plus 1 equals what? I guess I could just rewrite it here, e to the a t x of k plus this integral. I'll write the integral one time, 0 to t e to the a v b. And then the u comes out the integral, so I could just, I mean, I guess I could just do this, dv b u of k. And this integral right here, if you just do it, you know, it's A inverse times, and you put in the upper limit, you get e to the at. And you put in the lower limit, you get the identity matrix. And then, you know, you get the B. So now, what I did was, when I was testing this thing, I went to Octave. I don't know whether Octave is still open here or not, but maybe. Okay, I went to Octave, and I did this 1 over s plus 1, okay? And actually, I did this before I, you know, went and did this, but because I was trying to check out Andrew's little thing, make sure he was right. He was certainly right. So you do 1 over s plus 1, and you get this, okay? And this 0.3679, that's 1 over e. I just tested that out right here. And this guy right here is actually 1 minus 1 over e. That's the numerator, okay? So the thing that the zero order hold is giving me for this thing, 1 over s plus 1 with the zero order hold C2D goes to 1 minus e to the minus 1 over z minus e to the minus 1. Is that right? Is that all right? Okay, now, let's just double check and see whether this thing gives us that, okay? I'm going to do this. This was, of course, for a, you know, nth order kind of a deal, right? Which is kind of handy, but this is just a first order thing, so this is all one by ones. In other words, A is what? What would A be here? You know, this is actually corresponds to e to the minus t, right? That's the inverse transform of that dude, right? So A is what?
1.
Minus 1, right?
Oh, minus
1?
Yeah.
You agree? Minus 1. So A is minus 1. So if I take this expression right here and plug in minus 1, then I should get the difference equation that corresponds to this guy over here, if I'm supposing right, right? So let's do that. So I'm going to say x of k plus 1 equals, there's no underline because it's a 1 by 1 now, this is going to be e to the minus t, right? E to the minus t. Wait a minute, where did the t come from? T shouldn't have been a t. T needed to be kt or something. It's cap t, right? Right here, that's a t. This should have been a cap t, right? Right? So I got to fix all the places here. Where else have I messed that up? It should have been a cap t, right? Is that right? Yeah, I think so. So I'm going to plug in e to the minus, this should have been e to the minus cap t, right? And by the way, what did I do when I did this thing? I think I also picked a sampling time of 1 second here, okay? So cap t is, so I'm going to pick cap t equals 1, and then I got that, okay? So I've got e to the minus 1, because cap t is 1, right? E to the minus 1, that's this thing, times x of k, plus this guy right here, which is, okay, a was what? Minus 1? So this is 1 over minus 1, right? That's what that is. And then I've got e to the, a was minus 1. Oh, this should not have been a t, this should have been a cap t. Did it again, right? Because I'm integrating up to cap t, right? E to the minus, what did I say? Minus 1, right? Minus the identity matrix, which is 1, right? And then I've had b, what was b? Well, I guess I got to figure out what is b in this case right here. I think b is 1. Basically, this is a block diagram, kind of looks like this. This is u coming in, and I put my integrator right here, 1 over s, right? And then, and this is going to come out, this is going to be y equals x. This is x, this is x dot. This is going back with a 1 here, right here. That's, let's see, 1 or minus 1? Minus 1, I think, right? So let's just check this out. This says x dot equals, I've got u, I got minus x plus u, right? And so if I Laplace transform, this says s x equals minus x plus u of s, right? And the transfer function here is s, I mean, I've got x times, or s plus 1 times x equals u of s, right? So x equals 1 over s plus 1 u of s. And the B matrix goes right in here. This is a 1 here, right? So that means the B matrix is a 1. So that's this guy, and then I've got u of k here, right? So, and this guy, right, by the way, is also y of s. Y of s is y equals x, right? So what I'm saying is, here's my B matrix is a 1, and so on. So now what I want to do is I want to take this thing and turn it into a Z transform. So this is Z times x of z, right? That's what that guy transforms to. It's an advance, right? K plus 1 instead of K minus 1. So it's not a delay. It's an advance. Equals e to the minus 1 capital X of z. And then I've got a minus. So that'll be a plus 1 minus e to the minus 1 times u of z, right? So I've got X of z times z minus e to the minus 1.
Why is that?
I did a minus 1 here, so I swapped the order of those.
Oh, I see.
Did I? Yeah, I swapped the order. Right. Okay. So now I'm gathering this guy over here and factoring out the x of z. And then I have a 1 minus e to the minus 1 u of z here. And so now I can say x of z, which is e really equal to y of z in our case, right? Which is equal to this divided by that. So that's 1 minus e to the minus 1 over z minus e to the minus 1. And is that what I had right here? Okay, so that's what they're doing. at least for that example, and I think it works. You could try it out for the integration if you want. The integration basically just doesn't have this term right here. That's all. So that took a little longer to derive than I was expecting, but at least we got the answer and we understand what's going on there, okay?
Now, a lot of these, is that really would be, that's t minus e to the 1, because your sample time is 1 second, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But there is something very important in this, okay? The thing that's very important in this is there was no approximation here. This is no approximation. Here, right? No approximation to right here. Got that? So if you want to do something better, all you got to do is this integral right here better, right? And you've got it. This is for any linear time invariant, differential equation setup you've got, right? So all you got to do is approximate this integral better, and you can come up with, whatever you want, okay? And this thing on Wikipedia, if you look at what we had on Wikipedia, then they go down and they look at several approximations. The thing that's difficult about this guy right here is you have to compute this e to the a tilde t, right? That means it's a matrix exponential. That's you have to find the eigenvalues and eigenvectors, or something like that, to get the matrix exponential. Okay, it's not a quick computation. So finding that, but the thing about it is, you really only have to do this once, right? You don't have to do it in your control algorithm. You just have to do that once, right? And you could do that, have the thing compute all day to get that, give you the answer, and then you got this big matrix, right? And you can plug it in. And so they have several different approximations. This one right here is the forward Euler, I think, using the first two terms of the Taylor series here. And you could also do the backward Euler. This is kind of like e to the minus at would be 1 minus at, right? And e to the minus at is 1 over e to the at, right? So this e to the at is 1 minus e to the minus at inverse, okay? So if you use that approximation, I think it's forward Euler. This approximation right here is kind of like halfway between forward and backwards. Okay, it's the average of the two, and it's the bilinear or Tustin approximation. So you can take that same equation, and you can make the Tustin approximation by approximating e to the at in this way. Okay. Or, like I said, you can go over there, you can compute e to the at exactly, and there's none of this mess. Okay? And you don't have those approximations, like the Tustin and the, this other one. And, you only have to compute it once, right? So you can go into MATLAB, whatever your giant A is, maybe it's 10 by 10 or something, compute e to the AT, e to the A cap T, that's all. It's just one, one numerical calculation. One time, and then you can just multiply, do the matrix multiply. The rest of this is just matrix multiplies. And if you want to, you can make this thing better. Rather than a zero order hold, you can make it, a first order hold or something better, right? So I thought this was worthwhile because it actually goes into a little more detail than what we did, and now we know what that stupid C to D is doing. I hate it when I don't know what some software is doing, right? So, are there questions about this?
Can you take that relationship up there and drive C, S in terms of Z, and do the same substitution we did before?
Well, if you do that, it won't give you, it will be doing something more like this. It will not be doing this thing. See, this guy does the derivative stuff exactly. And you're only making an approximation in this thing on the input. The zero order hold is only on the input. Everything, it's just like you had a continuous system And you said, oops, I'm just going to put this jaggy thing into the continuous system, and this is the exact thing that comes out. And this thing would be, you know, what would happen if, you know, you could, if you knew what the u was and you put in the actual u and you actually did the integral, you would actually get the real actual answer for the continuous system out. You can't, I don't think you can. I think anytime you start making a substitution of s and z, then you're doing an approximation on this e to the at, like they're talking about right here. This is the approximation for the bilinear, right? This is the approximation for the forward Euler, and the one you'd have one I plus at without an inverse for the other Euler. And so I think that business of changing s and z, making the substitution, unless you put in e to the j omega 0t. No, it's only changing the u. It's only changing the u, it's not changing s. It's like the zero order hold is the actual thing you would have if you changed your u to this zero order holded u. And so it's a different concept. It's not changing s to a function of z. To get the s to a function of z, that's an approximation on this, which gives you this guy or that guy.
I tried to solve like 1 over s squared with that, and I was like, there's no way this is going to be.
It doesn't come out nice, huh?
No.
Well, it is using still the zero order hold on the input, okay? If you make this approximation that u is, you know, constant over, you know, like that, it's zero order holded. And you do that, and the next thing you do is you approximate e to the at with this guy right here. Then you'll get the trapezoid. If you approximate it like this, you'll get the forward. So you got to do 2 approximations, the forward, the backward, and the trapezoid rule, the Tustin rule, those, which I guess is trapezoid, right? Those are actually doing 2 approximations in this way of looking at it, one on the e to the at, and one on the u. And they're all doing the zero order hold on the u. In other words, we took u and we just said, oh, we're just going to say it's stepwise. So we did that already. We kind of did that in, you know, without thought about it. But there was an approximation there, right?
Nobody approximates the input with the trapezoid rule or anything like that.
Well, you could now. You could. Because you could use this. Yeah. If you use this as exact, and you can integrate this guy with trapezoidal rule, it won't be the same as that Tustin thing. But it will be better than this zero order hold, and it will be better than the Tustin. Because you got the e to the at correct. So the e to the at comes from the derivative thing. Like, for example, if we just threw away the input, suppose the input wasn't there at all, right? Like just doing a transient response, we wouldn't have this term here, right? So we would have that exactly. It's exactly zero, right? And then here is the actual exact solution. There is no approximation. It is exactly that. This is what it will be. You know, it's e to the minus t going down, and you're just sampling that actual solution at the points, and there is no error on any of those samples. Because you did the solution kind of first. You know, you solved the differential equation, and then you sampled the solution instead of taking the derivative as the difference between delta y over delta x, you know, or delta y over delta t, and then, you know, kind of numerically solving the equation. Because here we solve the thing exactly. This is the analytical solution. And now we're just going to discretize that. So this is better than anything we've done so far. Okay? It's better. It's better than the bilinear transformation. It's better than anything. I mean, this is perfect right here. And if you did this integral exactly, you'd have the exact answer for the continuous system.
And this method is called
I guess zero order hold by C2D, right? But
yeah.
But I guess I should show you one other thing that kind of gave me a hint for this. I went and looked at the octave thing. Here's what it says in octave. Zero order hold or...
Oh.
And I said, oh, I bet. And yeah, that's what it was, right? Does that make sense? See, if they're doing matrix exponential, that means they're actually solving this equation, you know, this guy right here, right?
So are they approximating the exponential
line? No, it's still right here. This is the exact right here. That is e to the at, you know, it is the exact. They didn't.
Why do they need an approximation for that?
They're approximating the...
Well, computing the matrix exponential is actually not an easy thing. I mean, yes, computationally intensive, yes. But the thing about it is you can do it beforehand,
yeah.
Right? And then then there's no biggie, right? But sometimes if your matrix is too big, right, it just may not be something you want to do. I mean, you know, you can do the Taylor series if you want. That's one way. Or you can find the eigenvalues and eigenvectors and transform it into a place where the place where it's a diagonal matrix, right? And then it's easy to take the exponential, and then you move it back into your mixed up form again, right? I think you did that back in LNA or in feedback when you found matrix exponentials, perhaps. But anyway, it's a lot of work. It's not like simple, and so sometimes people like to do those approximations. Well, no, only the zero order hold is doing that. These guys are doing just what we were doing with the S to Z transformations. The Tustin is the bilinear, and that's using, you know, the 1 plus AT over 2 over 1 minus AT over 2, you know,
the zero order hold is the best one.
Yes, and that's why it's the default, right? I mean, you know, when something's the default, you got to think about it. If you don't understand the default, you better be saying, oh, well, I better figure this out, right? They're just making this approximation, the zero-order hold approximation on the integral. This is zero-order hold. They're all doing zero-order hold on the integral, yeah. I mean, they're all assuming this thing right here, that it's like this, right?
Which would explain when you plot them, I think.
Is that the easiest one to calculate? I mean...
Well, yes, I guess so, yeah. Yeah, I think it would be better. It'd be easier to do trapezoid rule on this. Well, I don't know about easier, but it'd be make more less error, right?
So,
but the trapezoid, if you do trapezoid rule on this, that's... you might to get the bilinear, you may be doing trapezoid rule this and that approximation on this. I'm not sure. I haven't done that. Worked that out. You know, it may be doing both here and here.
Well, there could be a better option to have an exact solution for the exponential and then trapezoid on the...
Right, yes, yes, yes.
Like that's
and that's not an option for C2D.
Oh, man.
But you could make your own C2D, right?
You can make C2 Andrew.
C2 Andrew.
Yeah.
C2D dash Andrew, yeah, right. Oh, it's not that hard. This is stuff you did back in numerical analysis, right? You don't get your PhD for that. I'm sorry. Anyway, all right, we got to stop, but.